on that chair. I got to be honest with you. There's a men's brekkie on the 8th of August, 8 to 10 a.m. Can I ask all of the blokes to turn up 8 to 10 a.m.? After that, I believe we all are going to go, men who love to play Nitro RC cars. You know, those little lawnmowers, I call them. I've got three of them in my shed. And when you start playing, and every Saturday morning, I will take them out. I'll take my RC Nitro car with my other son. We will tear every buffalo grass around it. And obviously, our residents don't like us. And so, on Saturday morning, after this barbecue, early morning breakfast, and then we will go and play our RC Nitro gas. Well, I'm quite sure these people are not going to be happy with it. But there is a park, and we are going to play around it. So, can I invite all of you guys to come through? Anything else? Right, there's a LFCC Women's Ministry, number 2 Grant Street. Please bring a plate to share if you are able. Friday, 7th of August, I found out it is going to be my wife who's going to be speaking on that day. It's a Friday night. It's a date night. And on that night, I got no date. And so I've lost my wife on that night. And so I'm releasing her on that night. And so please come for the women's ministry. I'll be grateful, thankful to you. Is there anything else? Nothing else? Thank you. Is there anyone who's new here? If I can get, if anyone who's new here, if you want to put your hands up, there's a lady over here, right at this moment. There's a wonderful gentleman here, sir. Here. Oh, there's a wonderful gentleman over here. There's a lady over here. Can we give a big round of applause? I really appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. If you've got your Bible with you, and if I can get the sharing on the screen, or you guys don't have it, I did send it. You see how the media plays against me. I need to share this story. During COVID-19, I think after COVID-19, and we all have come back here, and some of you guys know that we only have got $500,000 to start off this building, and we are going to start off by faith when we're going to build. And some of you guys know that we are still seeking at about $3 to $4 million at this point in time. And I remembered, doing all the services, now Saturday service, 8:30 service, Sunday morning service, 10:30 service, and by now I'm completely exhausted. I'm vexed, and all of a sudden I finished praying for everyone. Must have been about 1:45 or 2 o'clock. Aiden and Chess kind of started calling me. And they said we got some great news for you, and so by now they know that I'm extremely vulnerable because I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Whatever they're going to say, it's going to be true. And they said we got exciting news. I said what do you mean? Well, we might have the money for you to build the church, and so they brought me in. They said, I said $3 million. Now more than $3 million, they said to me, more than $3 million. And then young Aiden picks up, this is how cheeky they are. Young Aiden picks up this wallet and opens up. He gives it to me. There you go, $10 million, Zimbabwean dollars. And I was so excited that they've actually got the money. And it was 10 million Zimbabwean dollars. Oh boy, you want to deal with these guys, don't deal with them. Right. This afternoon, I've been thinking and praying about it, and I've been asking God. I think sometimes we, being as a Pentecostal church, we love the experience of being shooken up by God. We love the experience of, God speaking to us. We love the experience of, having an encounter with God, love to see Jesus face to face, or the Holy Spirit face to face, all those, what he called, the super comfy stuff. But then, and then as a church, what we do, we keep on seeking, but then we don't go into what we call on an overflow effect. In other words, you can come to me, or you can come to, say, Chas Burns or Pastor Leanne Shaw or to anyone else, and you'll ask, would you lay your hands and pray for us? Would you lay your hands and pray for us? Not that there's anything wrong with us. We will always pray for you guys. And some will get slain under the power of God. Others will start to speak in tongues. Others will be, laughing and smiling. Others will be getting excited and just gets pumped up. But then after that experience, we get up from the chair or we get up from the floor. We walk away. What are we going to do about it? And I think sometimes we live from experience to experience, encounter to encounter, but in return, then God will ask you, I've given you the encounter, what are you going to do with this? And so it's nothing wrong with it. Can I have the scripture, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 29. Numbers, chapter 11, verse 29. I've started to teach on a subject called the shaping of a prophet this last Thursday under the School of Impartation. And I'm trying to train a whole lot of men and women to become prophets. But one of the things we find over here, Bible says, 11:29 says, then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets. Another translation says, I wish every one of you guys are prophets. And then it says that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. You see, it's not necessarily that you have to be a prophet in a church, but you can be a prophet in a marketplace. You can be a prophet in your workplace. You can be a prophet at Bulls, at a supermarket, wherever it is. But, you know, when you do have the encounter of God, sometimes we just go from encounter to encounter, but then we do not do anything in return. And all we do with God is a one-way traffic. But God requires out of us a two-way traffic. He said, I will give everything I can give it to you. What about you giving something back towards his kingdom? You see, someone once said, it's not about you and I, it's always about him. Although he cares for you, although he loves you, although he does all the things for you. But at the end of it, where do you stand? I know that there are pain. I know there are agony that you go through. I know there are fences that needs to be fixed and mend in your backyard. I know all of the above. God can do all of the above. But meanwhile, while God is fixing, mending, sending his angels, sending his Holy Spirit, what are you going to do in return for the kingdom of God? So with this, can we come back again to the original thing? And can we go through the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 to 9? Here we find a typical picture. Generally speaking, all of us at some stage, we all were like Saul. We might not be threatening someone, but we might be doing something illegally. Would you agree with me? Or sometimes some of us can become passive aggressive. At the end of it, Bible says, for we are all our sinners. It's by the grace of God, we are no longer in sinners, because it's not by, we haven't become saved because of our works, but we have been saved because of the righteousness and the faith that we find in him. So here, scripture says, then Saul still threatening, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were on the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. Can I have the next one? And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Can you see this? This is what I call Pentecostal experience. A light, a shaft of light comes in. A lady shared in the School of Impartation this last Thursday that there was a particular demonic power appeared right in front of her. And as she saw the demonic power, it wanted to start to strangle her neck. This was in a dream. And all of a sudden, a shaft of light comes in. And behind that demonic activity, it was the Holy Spirit. Right in front of our eyes, that Holy Spirit held the demonic activity and it just disintegrates and breaks down to pieces. It's a powerful testimony. It's a wonderful testimony. But from there, where to? Right? So here it says, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Can I have that? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Can I ask of you guys today? There are men and women who will come over here. They'll say, give me a word. I want a word. Give me a healing. I want a healing. God can do all of the above. But could you see this? A light shines upon Saul's life. And an encounter takes place. And the next minute, in his own mouth, look at Saul, what he says. And he says, so he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amazing, isn't it? Right at the period of him giving his heart, he's becoming a born-again Christian. He's getting saved right now in the early infancy stages of a babe of a Christian. And he hasn't even gone into the depth of what God is going to ask him to do. But yet he says, what do you want me to do for you? You see, this is one of the things I often find, that men and women like to see when there is a honeycomb, all the bees will come, because they know no other place can give you a honeycomb like what we can offer you. But all be buzzing. But if I were to say, could you do something? Pastor Rich, I have got to go and do something. Pastor Rich, I have to do this something. There'll always be some kind or some form, not to me, but to the kingdom of heaven, an excuse. May I say this right at this moment? Whatever you could do for the kingdom of God, however you want, that you and I can play a role of an evangelist, as many people as we can bring in into the kingdom of God, that's what he's asking for. And so, if you were to go through, then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood with speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Can I have verse 8? Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus, and he was there for 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. I want to encourage you guys. I just want to say this right at this moment. In life, we will experience a lot of things. I shared this story yesterday morning service. I'll never ever forget. 1983. We had a soccer club in Singapore, and we all were 15-year-old kids. And then there were 22 of us were playing against another school in a big oval. And there were only two Christians, myself and another bloke called George. George was 7 feet tall. And as we were playing the soccer, the opposition team kept on cussing the F-letter word, every single word. Every colorful colloquial language you can get within the Australian colloquialism, we have got the same thing back in Singapore, except in a different language, just to let you know that. And so, you know, as this swearing of the words are going through, I found it also very difficult to play. Eventually, you know, George decided not to walk, not to run anymore. He decided to go straight to the umpire. And he started to whisper to him and started to say to him, what he said to the umpire, he basically said, ref, I'm leaving the game right now. And the ref said, why are you leaving? I do not tolerate and I do not like the swearing going on in the soccer match. The umpire then takes his whistle. He whistles through the entire game. He says, we are bringing you a stop because at the end of it now, because you have 11 against 11, you can't have 11 against 10. And so 11 against 11, one person is going to walk out. We need to call this entire match into a quits. And so they brought to a quit. And then the umpire says to George, what's your complaint? Tell your team. He said, I'm sick and tired of these two teams, our team and your team, and we keep on cussing at each other. If you guys stop this, I will play. If you don't stop it, then I'm leaving the match. He took the whole entire game into like a hostage kidnap situation. He stopped the game. At the end of it, both teams said, we no longer will cuss each other, we no longer will swear with each other, we will play this game. Right to the end of the game, not even one swear word came out. I'll never forget about George. I could never forget. 1983, we had this passionate game in a soccer match. The guy stands for it and he says, at the end of it, he says, I believe in Jesus. He was talking to a bunch of Hindus, bunch of Muslim people, and bunch of Taoist Buddhist people. So all, because you've got the melting pot of, multiple faith within the soccer match with so many different guys, worshipping. He says, my Jesus will not tolerate this. No one said anything at all. And they all stopped swearing. You see what I'm trying to say this to you? You see, he had an encounter with God, but the encounter did not stop over there. That encounter came into a soccer field. And in that soccer field, he's still trying to tell and he's still trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not swear each other because you and I are made in the image of Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you guys. If God has given you a good life, may I say this? It is by the grace of God and God alone. And I think we should not be taking it for granted, but rather we should start to really share this. Share the faith what God has given to us. Number 2 point, if you've got your scripture, can I come back over here? So I'm calling this encountering the God kind. I came out of the movie. Encountering something in the E.T., if I remember. And so I decided to, twist it turn it and make it the encountering of the God kind. And so, if I were to come through, let's go through Acts 9, verse 4 to 6. We've just read this, and the scripture clearly says right now, the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 4 to 6. Here we see, right at this moment, Jesus is encountering, Jesus is knocking at the doors of your heart. And as he knocks at your door, he says, "Where are you? What are you? And what are you doing to me right at this moment?" Saul starts to answer him. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." Can I say that there are times that God will convict us, that God will start to speak to us, and God will start to say to you, "Don't do this thing, don't do that thing, do this, do that." And I think when God does speak to you, can I say this? Be awakened to what He does. Every moment of your life, sometimes we might not be trained in hearing the voice of God, but all of a sudden God will use Jonathan to speak to you, or God will use Peter Laverick to speak to you, or God will use someone to speak to you through your circumstances. But at the end of it, may I say this right now, Saul was very quick and fast enough to understand, to learn that he knew that he was facing the Almighty God. And so how many times that you and I would come through in our own personal life, and when God is still speaking to you, but you and I will say, "Look, I'm not too sure whether I'm still hearing the voice of God." You see, encountering of the God kind, you and I, being a prophetic and an apostolic church, when we come into this place, we want to hear from God. What is God saying? But sometimes even when God speaks to you, you and I will still say, "No, I still want to do what I want to do on my own." I often call, we are the masters of our own destiny. If God does not come as quick as He come, let me assist God. We like to become Mr. and Miss Fix It. And when you start to fix it your own thing, may I say to you right now, you will give birth what we call Ishmael. You see, one of the problems is with Abraham, God says, "You are going to get Isaac." But Sarah says, "Let me become misfix it for you. You will do what I'm asking you to do." And then he has a child. And out of the child of Hagar, the maidservant, you out of the misfix it and Mr. Fix It, you have got Ishmael. May I say this right now? If God is encountering with you, if He has encountered with you, as you're walking with God, try to stay in tune with God, what God is telling you and how God is speaking to you, and just walk in all the way through what God has called you to do so. Number 2 point. Can I come back again? Where are we right at this moment? And so we find here, Saul heard a voice. And so Saul heard a voice. Acts 9 verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul." It doesn't say Jesus was speaking to him. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. It doesn't even say the Father was speaking to him. All he did, he heard a voice. There are many voices. Am I right to say? There's a voice of this lady. There's a voice of this man. There's a lot of voices. So many voices can go through. Media has got a voice. Media will tell you a certain voice. They have got a certain narrative, and they will fly through according to the narrative what they feel comfortable. This morning, I think James Murdoch, is it? Am I right? James Murdoch. James Murdoch resigned from News Corporation. Do you know why he actually resigned from News Corporation? Because in Australia, News Corporation papers have actually been denying writing opinion pieces of denial climate change. And so James Murdoch feels very, very strongly there is a climate change, and my father and my other brother is not writing the narrative that I want to write because they are denial of climate changes. So because of that, there's a family feud. He decides to resign. As of this day onwards, the whole world now knows within the Murdoch family, there's a feud going because two people are saying there's no climate change. One person says there is a climate change. You see what I'm trying to say? The world will have its own narrative, but we have got one narrative. We believe one narrative, and the narrative is this: climate change has been there since Adam and Eve. May I make it very, very clear? The moment sin came in, climate change came in. Long time ago, guys. We don't need scientists. We knew the moment, what happened at the Garden of Eden, sin came in. When sin came in, it just broke every law of spiritual law in the atmosphere. So that's why we had floods. That's why we had droughts. That's why we had this, we had that. But since 1999, they have been saying, there's a climate change, there's a climate change. We have known climate change has been existing over 2,000 years. May I say this right now? Bible says that he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In any given Pentecostal church, everyone believes God is speaking to you. God is speaking to us. Not there's anything wrong, but may I also say this, in the encountering of the God kind, sometimes you and I need to also realize an angel of light can also come in and can also trick you by you getting as though the message up directly from God. See, hearing the voice of God takes many, 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 many years to know the voice of God. And if you're not in worship, if you're not in quiet time, if you're not reading the word of God, if you're not going through all the things that God is asking, at the end of it, he asks one thing, and he's asking for a friendship and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion, guys. I know what is religion. My forefathers worshipped 330 million gods and goddesses. Choose, go and choose which one you want to go, which one are you going to worship today? You have to go and choose. But over here, and even though after that, once you've known which one to pick up and choose, which one to go and worship, and then even when you do it, you've got to put a candle, or you've got to put an incense sticks, or you've got to put something, you've got to put a fruit, or you've got to sacrifice this, sacrifice that. In Christianity, there's no one to sacrifice except Jesus sacrificed himself. That's a beautiful thing. We don't have to sacrifice at all. We don't have to give any blood. We don't have to do anything about it. At the end of it, he's done all. Out of that, there's a freedom. Out of that, there's a liberty. Out of that, you realize there's a satisfaction, a wholeness of what God has done in your personal life. And so here he says, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The subsequent scriptures start to show who the voice is. None other than Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. There was a great sage by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh. And this man is no longer alive. In the moment, he was a Punjabi. One day, he took his knife. He was in his bedroom. He took his knife. He was going to stab himself. And before he was going to stab himself, he says, if there is a true God, let the true God come right in front of me. I will not kill myself. The knife is going closer, 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 right in front of him. A light shines. Out of the light, a person stands. And he says, I am Jesus. Sadhu Sundar Singh took the knife off. Who are you, my Lord? And the rest of his life, he became a born-again Christian, traveled some parts of the world, and one day he was up in Tibet. And as he was ministering, he was caught in heaven, no one ever knew where his body has been buried. What am I trying to say? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a friendship with Jesus Christ. It's not religion. I've tried religion. Religion cannot do anything about it. You see, today I pray, my Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, I give you praise. My lungs are worshiping you. My kidneys are thanking you. My heart is rejoicing. I do not have a scripted prayer. I do not have a prayer right in front of me. And that prayer, I need to read that prayer. I don't read the prayer. But out of the goodness and the fullness of Jesus Christ, out of the goodness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you just come out of the Spirit of God, you script that prayer by complete freedom and liberty. Bible says to me, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so, I no longer, I don't have to be, I don't have to be legalistic about it to carry a book. Someone has written a prayer, and I actually speak over the prayers who have someone has written, but rather a prayer is bubbling in my heart, in my spirit, over and over again, rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget, I thought I know this Jesus. One day, my friends and I, my mates and I, decided to go down south. And when we went down south, we were driving this brand new car. We were about 22 years of age. It was a four turbo Telstra charge car, $17,500, brand new car. We were exploring Pemberton, about to explore Pemberton. We went to Kalgoorlie, Coolgardie, all those places. And while we were driving, this mate of mine says, look at me, I'm like Michael Schumacher. And as he was driving, Michael Schumacher decided to go on the gravel road. And as he enters on the gravel road, the car turns around 5 times over a railway track and is about to hit against a jarrah tree. Out of the car, when it's turning over and over again, petrol is coming out. The fuel was coming out. It's getting doused all around us. And I said, "My Lord, I'm going to die very soon. And very soon, my body will be packaged up. And the Singapore Airlines will take me. My body will fly back to Singapore for burial." As it was, you know, going through over and over again. And all of a sudden, out of the heart of God, God says, "I've got some bad news for you. You're going to live." And all of a sudden, he said, "If you're going to live, all your three mites have to live." I wanted to start to speak in tongues, and I started speaking in tongues. And God says to me, "Get this other mite of yours to start to speak in tongues." This back guy, the guy at the back in the passenger seat with me, he starts to speak in tongues because the front two passengers, including the driver and the co-driver, both guys are now paralyzed. The car is going over and over and over again. Finally, the car comes to a stop, to a halt, and is thinking, "Should I be upside down, or should I be turning up, or should I be upside down, should I be turning up?" And all of a sudden, it came back to its normal position. The beauty about it is this. And this is why I say, really, it's not religion. It's Christianity, it's friendship with God. And right at that moment, we were playing a Bee Gees cassette tape. And as the Bee Gees cassette tape was in that, the car came in back to it. It says, "Staying alive, staying alive, staying alive, staying alive." People said to me, "God does not have a sense of humor." I say, "He has got a sense of humor." The car was so mangled up, we could not get out. The entire Northcliffe Township, all of them came because we looked like circus. And so they brought their fireys and they got all the, what do you call, the cutting arm, is it? What they call them? The jaws of life. They had to cut it out and everything. And they were cutting it out and and the cassette tape is just saying, "Staying alive." Because what's happened, the whole cassette tape has been, you know, slotted in and it's not going to the next song, which called "Too Much Heaven." I know what's the next song. The next song, "Too Much Heaven." You know, it's not coming out. So it's just staying alive. It's still going on. And the reel is stuck. Staying alive, staying alive. And the fireys, they got really, really got angry. Can someone do something about this cassette tape which says "staying alive"? And this guy takes a sledgehammer and he just hits it on a, "Staying alive!" Do you miss me now? Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In the midst of a trial, he still speaks to us. In the midst of the trial, you can still hear his voice. But in that trial, I remembered when I came through, God said to me, "I know you came into this country to study in seminary. You are going to finish your seminary and you are going to now serve me for the rest of your life." 8th of January, 1991. This incident happened. Every 8th of January come, I will go in the backyard. My wife often, it's taken about 16, 17 years later, my wife worked it out. 8th of January, I go very solemn. I go in the backyard and I sit down. I look towards up the heaven. And after all the years later, I'm still thankful to God I'm still alive. Why do I say this? Because you have got this personal relationship. It's not legalism. It's not religion. But it's rather the friendship with God that you carry through. Next point, can I come back again? Let's go through next point. The revelation of Jesus to Saul. Can I have the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 5? The revelation. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Can you see this? Saul, who has been persecuting every single person, he finally says, "Who are you, Lord?" L-O-R-D. That's a pretty powerful word. And all this while, he was breathing, he was fuming with anger, furious, and he was trying to take every person down. And now he says, and Jesus finally says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." He's a very personal, revealing person. He'll always reveal to you and to me. But if he has revealed to you, then there is always an assignment that God will give you. And the assignment is this: God is love. God is love. And out of the love, you go and you share what God has done in your life. rather than you and I, including myself, I will come to this church and I want to get a power of God. I want to sense the power of God. I want to feel the power of God. Not that there's anything wrong with that though, guys. But at the end of it, with that power of God which rests in you over and over, layer after layer after layer after layer, what are you going to do about that? So there are times that some of the dads in my school will ask me, would you go for a coffee? And I'm not really interested. I'm not really keen. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm not a lunch guy. I'm not a dinner guy. I'm not even a breakfast guy. But they'll always try to get me. But I like to go, you know, fathers in the school because they are like, you know, they won't look at you like this. Give me a word kind of thing. They won't do that. And so these are guys who, I like these guys because they talk nonsense to me. They talk about footy. They talk about boats. They talk about nitro RC cars. They talk a lot of nonsense, and I like that. But one day I remembered, I was sitting down with this mate of mine, not a real Christian kind of thing. He kept on speaking, and he kept on binging and kept on telling me and saying to me, right, how much he hates his job. I said to myself, I did not come over here to become your counselor. I came here to have a cappuccino with you and to talk nonsense. But then he kept on saying, I do not like my work. I do not like this work. And then I asked him, would you like to become a basketball coach? Or would you like to become, someone to, you know, train up a supermodel or, you know, whatever it is. And eventually God says to me, you know, say something to him like this. Have you ever considered of buying land, developing land and put a house and flip it and do another one? And I said to God, you know, I did not come and give a word of prophecy. I came here just to talk nonsense. But at the end of it, he says, but I have got a relationship with you, Rich. If I've got a relationship with you, you need to speak my voice to him, what I have got to say. And so here it says, then he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So I said to John, have you considered about this? And then he puts his cappuccino. He says to me very quietly, is a man on top speaking to you? I said, does it have to be there? He said, and he whispers with a reverence, with a courtesy. Well, I mean, we were making a lot of noise. This was in Teo Cafe. You know Teo Cafe? That's, you know, it's my favorite place. And so I do bring a lot of my pastors to that place. And there was Teo Cafe. And all of a sudden, he whispers at me. It's so like some secret stuff you're going to discuss. Is a man on top speaking to you? You see what I'm trying to say? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And then I asked John, who do you think the man on top is? It Jesus? You see what I'm trying to say? And so, you know, even when you are saying, I don't want to share the gospel of Jesus, guys, I don't want to say anything at all, yet again, God will add the encounter, from an encounter to an overflow. You and I have to have an overflow. And there are days that you can be sad. I agree with you. There are days you can be sorrow. There are days you can be discouraged. There are days you can be upset. I understand. Those things are human emotions. But in the midst of all human emotions, even with the minor prophets, even with the major prophets, they've always have something to offer to a next person. God is asking you to offer. You offer, Rich. You do whatever you could do. I will sort out with your children. I will sort out your business. I will sort out your church. I will sort out your marriage. I will sort out your relationship. I'll sort out your friendship. You just keep on doing what you are doing for me. You look after my backyard. I will look after your backyard. He goes two-way street, not a one-way street. Encounter is nice. But from an encounter, you need to enter into an overflow. You can go for meeting after meeting. If I decide to open every day in this church, there'll always be people come through because people love to know and people want to know what's their destiny. Where am I going to be? Am I going to be a CEO? Am I going to be a pilot? Am I going to be this? Am I going to be that? Can I be there? I remember a young bloke came and sat down at the back of it. I said, come in the front. I said, in another 10 years on the track, you'll become a pilot. 10 years later, exactly, he became a pilot. People love to hear what God has to say. And so there's an overflow effect. You want to give something out of the mind of God. So encounter is good. Don't stop encountering God. But if you are encountering God, please pass it to this lady. Please pass it to that man. Pass it to someone. Share the love. Very simple. Not that hard. Can I have the next point? Thank you. Come. Let's go through the last point. Thank you, Jesus, for the last point. Exodus. Jesus gives a mission to Saul. Can I have the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 6? So he, trembling and astonishing, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Ultimately, it's the mission field. Where is your mission field? Is your mission field in Perth? Is it Cambodia? Is it Vietnam? Is it Thailand? Is it United States? Or is it United Kingdom? Is it Canada? Is it the Kiwi land? I don't know. But we all have got our own backyard. My backyard is always very simple. I go down to, you know, the Padbury, IG and Padbury chemist. As soon as I go into the chemist, the owner of the Padbury chemist says, "This guy know," and he uses this term very, "this guy knows how to read people." Trust me, he does it every time. And all of a sudden, you know, he will say, "This guy knows what to do." And 8 people are lining up right in front, in the middle of the pharmacy. I said, "Why do you do this, Steve?" "Because they all need to know Jesus." 8 years I followed, 8 years I shared the gospel. Only last year he gave his heart to Jesus. That's my mission field. Where is your mission field? I had an encounter. I saw the encounter in 1982, 7th of June. By 1983, 7th of June, God took the autism away. By 1989, God took the OCD away. So because of the end, I had the encounter, I keep on going and I keep on giving it. 3 weeks ago, before I went for holiday, a mother comes up over here and says, "I've got a son who's 8, 9 years of age." I said, "Yeah, what seems to be the problem?" And she says, "When he goes into the bathroom, Pastor Rich, he keeps on washing the hands. He washes his hands, he comes out, sits down, and then he goes in the bathroom, washes again. Comes out, washes again." God says to me, "This is the start of OCD. So I said, "Okay, Lord." And I asked the mom, I said, "Where is your child?" He came and sat down right at the back. I sat him down, and I made a couple of, you know, couple of pranks and a couple of jokes with the, you know, with this young kiddo. And then I asked him, I said, "Why are you washing your hands all the time?" "Your mom says to me." He says, "Pastor Rich, I just don't think so. The bacteria is leaving my hands. The bacteria is still here. So as soon as I wash my hands, 5 minutes later, I feel the bacteria is crawling all over my body." So I said, "How long have you been doing?" "Oh, maybe, you know, 12, 13, 14 months. Sometimes in the middle of the night or in the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, when my mom and dad are asleep, I still wash my hands." I had a tear. I think I had a tear or two. I think I know what he was going through because I've been there. I put my arms around and I said, "Son, I'm going to tell your mind right now. Once you wash your hands with the detergent or with the soap, that bacteria dies in Jesus' name." And then I started, "Who Jesus, what Jesus, and all the above." And it was 3 weeks ago I said that. And then I finally said, "Take your two hands, put your hands like that." And then I put my finger onto it and I just prayed, "My Lord, from today, this day onward, this young son will not have OCD." Just this week, the mother came and said, "Pastor Rich, ever since 3 weeks ago, before you went for holidays, 3 weeks later, my son hasn't gone back to bathroom the way he has gone and washed his hands. It stopped once and for all." May I encourage you guys? I am not going back to from person to person. I love pastors. I have a lot of fathers and mothers. I've got 8 fathers, 8 mothers of faith. They have been running. In fact, I don't run this church. Behind me, I'm just a proxy. Behind me, there are 16 people are running this church. They are the one who tell me, "Okay, this is the time to sell. This is the time to lease it out. This is the time to move out. This is the time to do this. This is how you're going to do. This is how you're going to, you know, you're going to get rid of this chest. This is how you're going to." They have been guiding me ever since in my 20s. And so my point is, you know, because I've seen this over and over again, it's working in my own personal life. But I'm in an overflow. And so in this overflow, I do not retain. I can go to pastors after pastors, evangelists after evangelists, prophets after prophets. There are times I will go straight to a prophet and I said, "I can't hear the voice of God for nuts. I do not know what to do with this building. I do not know where to go, where to do, what to buy, how to buy." And then they will speak through the voice of God. There are times I go, but I don't go to them on a regular basis. I operate within the overflow effect that God has given. And so all of you guys have got an overflow effect. If you have from an encounter to an overflow effect, I rather you have from an encounter to an overflow effect, and you can become a treasure, a prized possession treasure to so many people, and you can rescue a lot of people's lives. Can I ask of you? I think we are starting to mature in the realm of the Spirit of God. And if you are going to mature in the realm of the Spirit of God, give God the opportunity to speak into your life even further, that you can be a blessing to other guys. Can I have all eyes closed? All head is bowed. My time is finished. And I'm going to ask people like Andy Chi and a few other people to come and help me out towards the end to pray for people. My Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And I pray and ask of God, in the presence of the Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for who you are, for what you are, for what you're going to do right at this moment, right now. We pray, we ask of God, as you bring your heart, God, as you bring your presence, God, at the end of it, you are the author, the finisher of our faith, God, and you are the one who's going to walk with us for the rest of our life, God. And we thank you, we ask of you. This Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and he walked on the face of the earth for 33 years. On the 33rd year of his life, he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He is now no longer with us because he was resurrected. Because of his resurrection power, right now we experience Holy Spirit among us, because he said, I'm not going to leave you like an orphan, but I am going to send someone powerful, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus now sits on the right hand side of his Father, prays for you and I. If you are saying, I want to be set free in certain matters of my life, I can't do anything. I can only do brass rasu for you guys. At the end of it, I live from an experience of what God has done all these years of my life. And I'm bringing it into practicality in experience. Who he is, what he is, what he is able to do. If you are saying, I want Jesus for the first time in my life. Very first time. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth time. Very first time. If you want to put your hands up, your left hand or your right hand up in the air, and you are saying, I want Jesus for the very, very first time. I've never accepted Jesus, but this is the first time I want. If you are that person, just raise your hands up. I just want to acknowledge your hands. Right now, one hand has gone up. One hand has gone up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. One hand has gone up. Is there any other hand? Any other hand? Any other hand? Is there any other hand? If there's none, can I have that prayer? Can I have all head tilted up, all eyes opened up for that one gentleman? On behalf of the entire church, can we do this as a family? And repeat these words after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for me and raised him from the dead.